You are God Most High. You are Jesus Christ. El Elyon of Israel. El Elyon. You are God Most High. You are Jesus Christ. Elyon of Israel. El Elyon. You are God Most High. You are Jesus Christ. El Elyon of Israel. El Elyon. You are God Most High. You are Jesus Christ. El Elyon of Israel. You are the Lord Most High. You are the Lord. You are the Lord Most High. You are the Lord. You made the way where there is no way. You are the Lord. Oh, you are the Lord Most High. You are the Lord. You are the Lord Most High. You are the Lord. You are the Lord Most High. You are the Lord. Father, we give you praise again for the privilege that we have to love you. The privilege that we have to look into your lively oracles to understand your ways. The privilege that we have to be invited into the fellowship of the divine. Lord, we make the most of this opportunity. Lord, for every day in our life is a privilege to invest in eternity. We know the very essence of time. What an opportunity you've given to us to explore into your depths, to know your ways, to understand your mind, and to mingle with you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise. And even tonight, Lord, as we look upon your words, we receive wisdom. We receive strength. We receive power. Power to reign and to win in this life. To live a victorious life that brings glory to your name. Thank you, Abba Father, because we strengthen tonight. Many lives will be recovered. Many hopes will be quickened. Lord, many faiths will be activated. Many giftings will be activated. Lord, many death situations will be brought back to life. And many opportunities will be realized. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. We are persuaded in our spirits tonight that you will yet again do great and mighty things amongst us. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's such a great honor to be here your way once again tonight. I believe you are going to learn something tonight again that you will add to your quiver as you make your headway in life. It's important for us to understand that in this life, we must be victorious. In this life, we must be victorious. The Bible said, as many as have received the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Pastor Chris Yakilome calls it, shall king in life. And that's the plan of God for every one of us. From the beginning of all things, God created us to have dominion. Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. So we were brought here to rule. We were brought here to reign. And this evening, by the special grace of God, somebody is receiving the capacity and the ability, the wisdom, the understanding, the light required to reign in life by the glory of God. And the Father will be glorified in reigning life in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible is such a fascinating book. It brings us the mind of God. And in the mind of God, we understand the plan of God for us. And we don't only understand the plan of God for us, we understand the strategies of the Spirit that are set in place for us to realize that godly plan. And glory to God, the plans of God for us, they are good and not of evil, to give us a hope and a future. The plans of God for us are unto a reigning life, the life of dominion and absolute victory. He said to the man in Genesis 1:28, after he had blessed them, he said, be fruitful. He said, multiply. He said, replenish. He said, subdue. He said, have dominion. It's victory on every side. And tonight we are going to learn the strategy. Tonight, I want to share with us what I have tagged the principles of faith. You know, I began last week by teaching on the subject, the way of faith. The way of faith, I said, it's very important. And just as a way of recap, I said that faith is that divine element imparted into our spirit in order to bring the power of creation. Because I said faith creates. I said faith creates. And that is why faith is very useful and always expedient when we want to bring dead situation back to life. When we want to bring impossible, make impossible situation possible. When we want to make the unseen seen, unreal, real. The only agency for making that possible is faith, because faith is creative. It's a force of God that makes creation possible. And everyone that has received that impartation of faith has the power to create. That power to create is what makes impossible possible. That power to create is what makes invincible visible. It's what makes the unreal real. And it's important for us to understand that that's the plan of God for our everyday life. So first, I said faith is a divine element in our spirits that gives us the power to create. And then secondly, I said the faith that we have is the same faith that God has. The faith that we have is the faith of God. I said that's the faith the apostles walked with. That's the faith Jesus walked with. And that's the faith that we have. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, Peter said, I write unto you, brethren, that have like precious faith. Like precious faith. That means Peter was saying, the faith that I have is the faith that you have. And Paul took it to the zenith. In Galatians 2:20, he said, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the faith Paul has, which is the faith you and I have, is the faith of the Son of God. And the faith of the Son of God is the faith of God. That's the same faith that stood when darkness was upon the face of the earth and said, let there be light. In fact, the Hebrew word is so graphic in painting this. It said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 verse 1, and it said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word is bohu, tohu. It means there was emptiness. There was nothing, and there was not just emptiness, there was vanity, there was waste, and there was not just waste and decadence, there was a force against the force of God that controlled the earth. But the emptiness, the vanity, the waste, the forces against the force of God counted for nothing the moment faith was activated. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So faith creates. Faith is a creative force, and every one of us that has faith has the power inherent in our spirit for bringing dead situation back to life. That means when situations are hopeless, we are not hopeless. When situations are dead, we are not confused. The reason is because the power at work in us is activated when it becomes hopeless. That's why you cannot see the glory of light in light. You see the glory of light in darkness. When there is darkness, that's when light becomes glorious. So dead situation gives us the opportunity to manifest the God class of light, the God kind of life. And that's what faith has come to do for us. But I said in our last class that even though this is what it is, it's important for us to understand that there is a definite protocol that governs the operation of faith. And the first, I said, is called the way of faith. The way of faith is not primarily about results. The way of faith is primarily about the making of the man of faith. Because it's the man of faith that produces the result. So for the man of faith to be made, he has to understand and conform to the way of faith. And I said, the way of faith is, in the most graphic sense, is outlined in Romans chapter 4 from verse 19 to 21. The Bible said concerning Abraham, it said, who against hope believed in hope that he will be the father of many nations, even as he has spoken, by thy seed shall the nations be made. And he said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving thanks to God, and being persuaded that him who have spoken is able to bring to pass what he has said. And I said, there are four things that makes for the way of faith. Every faith man lives according to the demands of the way of faith. And I said, the first thing is to be persuaded. The Bible says Abraham was persuaded. And I said, persuasion is only possible when there is a reference. You cannot be persuaded a man is a good man until you have seen something the man has done that is good. You cannot be persuaded that the man is a bad man until you have seen something bad that the person has done. So I said, persuasion is built upon references. So I said, it's important for us to have references that makes for God's for divine persuasion in our spirit. And I said that reference is predicated upon what we know from the Word of God, and then our track records in God's dealing with us. And I said, when that begins to happen, we know two dimensions of God. The first dimension of God we know is that God is truth. What it means is that God's reality exceeds the natural reality. So the natural reality may be saying something else, but what God says is what is real, because God is truth. A man can have sickness all over him, but God says by his stripes you are healed. If you look at that man in reality, the man is healed. Now, when you know the man is healed, then you are bold enough to bring that healing that is his spiritual reality into his natural reality, because his natural reality is a lie. Let God be true and all men liars. So if you are persuaded in God on the strength of your referencing God by his scripture and by his track record, you are going to know the first dimension of God, that God is truth. And if God is truth, that means what God says is what you believe. Secondly, you are going to know another dimension of God called the faithfulness of God. Because you know God is faithful, you can stake your life. That's why God said to Peter, come, and Peter could walk on water, because God is faithful. What it means is that what God says, God is committed to performing in it. So if God says you are healed, if you dare to believe it, God who said you are healed will make you healed. If you look at Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 4 to 5, he said he was wounded for our transgression. 5 particularly now, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by his stripes we were healed. Now God said it. Everybody that believed it, God came to make that real. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 16, he said that it may be fulfilled, rather. He said himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He said on the strength of that prophetic word, Jesus went about healing the sick. So the reason Jesus went about healing the sick was not only because he had compassion for the sick, it was because he had declared his stripes, they were healed. So he said on the strength of that prophetic word, Jesus was compelled to heal the sick. And in verse 17, he said, when the evening was come, they brought all that were sick to him, that he might heal them. And he said, they touched him, and he healed them all. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Himself took our infirmities. That is the faithfulness dimension of God. Whenever God speaks, God is committed to bring it to pass. But it takes a man of persuasion to see God's faithfulness. So persuasion helps us to understand two dimensions of God: the truth dimension of God and the faithful dimension of God. I also showed us a scripture in Genesis chapter 18. The Bible says God said to Abraham in verse 10 and in verse 14, in the next time of life, I will visit you, and Sarah, your wife, will be with child. Abraham had already been persuaded, because in Genesis 15 verse 5 and 6, he said Abraham looked at the stars, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was already persuaded. Now, because Abraham was persuaded, and that's what Paul was quoting in Romans chapter 4 verse 21, he said God returned in Genesis chapter 21 verse 1, according as he has said. He said God returned as he has said, and he visited Sarah as he has said, and Sarah was with child. Sarah was with child. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said by faith Sarah received strength that she should be with child. Why will she receive that strength? Because God will be faithful. So God imparted strength into Sarah.
even though Sarah was barren, God kept to his word because Abraham was persuaded. So I said the first principle of faith is the principle of persuasion. So every believer must make it a point of duty to make sure there are enough references in every area of his life in order to be persuaded in God. The moment you do that, you are going to see everything God says come to pass. Why? Because God is truth and because God is faithful. And I said the second thing about the principle of faith is that you don't consider the circumstances. He said Abraham did not consider his body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Romans chapter 4 verse 19. He did not consider his body dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, what does that mean? That does not mean Abraham was negligent. That does not mean Abraham was oblivious of his circumstances. But what it meant is that Abraham chose to put his focus on what God said. He didn't put his focus on his circumstance. The reason is because if you put your focus on your circumstance will create a thought in your mind. And that thought will become your imagination. That imagination will become your desire or your expectation. And the moment it becomes your expectation, it must become your reality. That's how things are formed from the spirit realm to the natural realm. First, it's a thought. Then it's an imagination. Then it's either a desire or an expectation. The moment it becomes a desire or an expectation, it must be born. So when you refuse to consider your circumstance, but you set your focus on what God has said, a thought will crystallize in your spirit. That thought that crystallizes in your spirit will eventually become your imaginations and your contemplations. The moment it becomes your imaginations and contemplations, that means you are forming a mental picture about it. It will now become either your desire or your expectation. The moment it becomes your expectation, every force in God will bring it to pass. It will become your reality. So the second thing about the principle of faith is that you don't consider your circumstances. And then the third thing about the principle of faith is that you lay hold on the promises. What has God put onto it? You grip it. The Greek word is katalambano. It means take hold and make a personal possession. So Abraham laid hold on what God said. He held it. He said he was not weak in faith. He did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Abraham refused to stagger. He refused to stagger. So men of faith refuse to stagger. The thing may last, but he said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, but joy cometh in the morning. So while you are at night, you are not dissuaded. While you are at night, you are not confused. While you are at night, you are not afraid. Why? Because you know the darkest hour of the night is the same moment that daybreak begins. So the moment it looks as if it is hopeless, the moment it looks as if it is dark, that's when light begins to come forth. Because light will surely come. The night is a testimony that light is on the way, that the morning will soon break. Without night, there will be no morning. So when you go through the worst circumstance, you are persuaded. That's why the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why was he not afraid? It's not just because he is bold. I fear no evil because thou art with me. The confidence of the man was informed from something. What is that confidence? What God said. What God said. He said, it's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. He said, he will do what he has said. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said to Abraham and he did it, if he said to Paul and he did it, if he said to Peter and he did it, when he says to Michael, he will do it because he will never change. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. That's why in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17, he said, though the fig tree might not blossom, the labor of the olive might fail, there may be no heads in the stalk. He said, yet will I believe in the Lord God of my salvation, because he is my strength. He will cause my feet to be like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk in my high places. You don't get there overnight. You get there by journeying from persuasion, by putting your affection not on your circumstance, but on what the Lord said, by holding on to what God said. And I said, finally, the principle of faith is such that it requires that we give glory to God. So you are going through pain. You are saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. You don't know why, but you are giving glory to God. The moment you are able to do this, you have become a man of faith. And a man of faith is a man whose foundation is in God. It's like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were beaten, flogged, and thrown into the prison. And the Bible said when it was midnight, he said Paul and Silas prayed and sang, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, he said the angel of the Lord came down, the foundation of the prison was shaken and the prison doors opened. The prison doors will never open until you become a man of faith. When they began to give glory to God, suddenly the prison door opened. What opened the prison door? It was their persuasion. It was their refusal to consider their circumstances. It was their holding on to what God said. And then it was their giving glory to God. I said, this will make you to become another man. This is how God operates. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning, the God created the heavens and the earth. And suddenly he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God was not moved. God hovered upon the water. He said the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And God said, what kind of being is this? It's a faith being. If you want to find out if you are truly an offspring of God, one of the proofs is that you must be a faith being. And to become a faith being, you must be a man that walks by the principles of faith. What's the problem of many believers? The problem of many believers is that they violate certain segments of the principles of faith. There are certain people who are persuaded, but they don't give glory to God. So they know nothing will happen to them. They know they will go through this, but they don't give glory to God. And because they don't give glory to God, they don't activate the power. Now, there are some who are giving glory to God, but are not persuaded. So they are giving thanks to God. What are you? Are you sure God will do it? They will not know whether God will do it or not. But we are hopeful that God will do it. That's not a man of faith. You don't conflict any of these things. All of it must be kept. You must be persuaded in God. You must not put your attention on the circumstance. You must lay hold on the promises of God. And you must give glory to God. If you do these four things, whether the foundations of the earth shift from their course, you will not fail. The Bible said, give a portion to seven. You know not evil that will come upon the earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 5. What God is telling us is that there are a kind, a species of people that can live victorious in this world. Even if the foundation of the earth were to crumble, even if everything were to fail, these ones will succeed because their root is not in the natural. Their root is in the spirit. This is the way of faith. So brothers and sisters, make sure, as you go through life every day, you refuse to be persuaded by things. Make sure you are persuaded only by God. Number two, make sure you refuse to consider your circumstance. The devil will try to make you consider your circumstance. Refuse to be moved. And then thirdly, make sure there is a scripture that is your anchor every day. Every day. If it doesn't come to your spirit naturally, go and open the Bible and look for it. I want a breakthrough. I'll go and search my concordance and find out a scripture that talks about breakthrough. I will keep that scripture in my heart until that scripture becomes part of me. And then breakthrough become natural. And then finally, even when I'm in the bus, oh glory to God, I'm the victory that the world is waiting for. I'm the light that the world is waiting for. I'm the next thing that is about to happen. It doesn't matter where I am, I will shake this world. When you keep this in your spirit and you utter it, my brother, the powers of the divine will be released in your favor. This is the principle of faith. Every high flyer in life knows this thing I'm telling you, and they practice it on a daily basis. And this is the foundation of our faith walk. And I said, this is not necessarily for results, it impacts on God. It is primarily to build the man of faith. And tonight, I want to take it a step further by teaching us another very beautiful thing about God. You see, the thing about victory in life is that God makes it so simple so that even the babe in Christ will have victory. Even the babe. For example, in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, Jesus sent them out and they were babes. He sent them out to cast the devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. They were babes. Why is that so? Because matters of life, God doesn't want us to struggle in matters of life. So he makes the principles of victorious living simple so that even the babe will survive. And the Bible said they went to different terrains and they cast out devils, they healed the sick, and when they returned, they were happy. And Jesus said, that's not the testimony. He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that today your names are written in the book of life. And Jesus made sure he painted the picture for us to see. He said, I thank you, Father, that you have revealed these things to babes. He gave authority to babes. The reason is because if God is waiting for you to be fully mature, the devil will lick you up. The devil will kill you. He will make a mess of you. So most times, people think the things that make for victorious living are deep mysteries. So it's very deep to make things happen. No, brothers and sisters, the easiest in life are the things that make for victory. And that's why the most simplistic part of the gospel is what makes for victorious living. There are depths in God. There are mysteries in God. But those are made for intimacy. They are designed for people who want to explore God. Victory in life is so simple that even the least among us can walk in victory. And they are by these very simple principles. You will see them, if you consider them at face value, you will be going through your struggle for a long time. But if you receive this truth and practice them, you will be amazed how life will become so easy. The Bible says to be careful so that you are not beguiled the same way the serpent beguiled Eve by the simplicity of the gospel. Be careful to hold on to the simplicity of the gospel lest you are beguiled like the serpent beguiled Eve. Most times for some of us who God has blessed with a little understanding here and there about few mysteries in the kingdom, when we are teaching and we are not talking about mysteries, people think, oh, this is not strong meat. This is the real strong meat. I'm telling you, if you see someone with cancer, you will realize that your mystery can't handle it. It's these basic things that deal with cancer. If you see someone struggling with breakthrough, he's in poverty for 20 years, your mystery will not handle it. It's these basic things that handle it. This is why a large number of people suffer. This is why a large number of people struggle, because they trivialize the things meant for their victory. But you are not going to trivialize it in the name of the Lord Jesus. As you receive these truths, you are going to receive it with meekness. You are going to receive it with meekness to bring you salvation. You are going to receive this truth with joy so that its powers will be revealed through your life. Everyone listening to me today is set up for a victorious life. And every one of you, the testimony, the life, the essence of your life will change in a short period of time. Tonight, in another 15 minutes, I'm so excited about what I'm sharing. I play with these things. I'm telling you the truth. I play with these things. These things are my daily contemplation. This is how I live my life. I slept very late last night, so I woke up at about 7 a.m. and then I got a message on my phone, I think about 7:09, one of my daughters in Asaba, she had been in labor for over almost 2 days or so now, and then she sent me the message, Daddy, I'm going through labor, the child is not coming out. She was so perturbed, and instantly, the Holy Ghost moved in my spirit. Pray now. Pray now. Pray now. I wanted to say, okay, just give me a few seconds. Let me put myself to. He said, pray now. And I carried the phone. And I called her immediately. And I decreed. I said, Sarah, receive strength to be with child. Receive strength in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I said, child, your time has come. Therefore, come out. I prayed for her at 7:34. 8 a.m. on the dot, the baby came out. Why? Principles of faith. I wasn't feeling an anointing on my head. I wasn't feeling fire on my finger. No. Pray now. Child, come out. And the child heard me, because that child is a living being. Remember, the Bible said we were created by the word of God. We were created. We were designed to be responsive to the word of God. You respond to the word of God. You are created by the word of God. Every time the word of God goes forth, there are elements in your being that respond to the word of God, because you were created by the word of God. This is why you are a faith being. The reason you are not getting the result is because you are not putting the word of God to work. My emphasis in this class is to get somebody crazy about the word of God, that you will dare anything with the word of God, and you will begin to see amazing and extraordinary results. I taught these simple facts on my mentoring platform, and novices who have never won a soul before. I mean, you know, if somebody have never won a soul, that means that person literally in any aspect of their lives. Somebody who has never won a soul. One of her in South Africa, she went out, did an outreach in a block, a cement industry. She gathered young street people. These are not church people, street people. She gathered them. And then she shared this principle with them. She prayed with them. Somebody who was on POP, legs broken, the bones were healed instantly. And one person was healed of deafness. Over 30 persons gave their heart to Christ. And she said, what's this? Is this how simple this is? I said, yes, this is how simple it is. When it has to do with manifestation, God makes it so simple. So that everybody gives it about healing. That means healing is the children's bread. Manifestation is the children's bread. It's not for men of stature in the kingdom. It's not for prophets. It's not for apostles. It's not for pastors and teachers. It's for every believer who would dare to put their faith to work. This is why I'm teaching these principles, and I'm teaching them passionately. And tonight, having taught the way of faith, I want to teach you about the principles of faith. And there are five basic principles I want to share with you today. I pray that as you hear this, you will not only hear it, but you will begin to put it to work from this night. You will be so amazed what God will do with you. You will be so amazed. I have testimonies every day. I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. God is my witness. I have testimonies every day. It's not a special thing for me. It's not a special. I have testimonies every day. The same way the brethren came to Jesus and he said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rather that your name is written in the book of life. I don't rejoice again over certain things. I give glory to God because that's part of the principles of faith, but it's a normal thing in my life. And it can be a normal thing for anybody who will dare contemplate this and put it to work. What are the principles of faith? Principles of faith number one. Focus on reality. I've shared that already. Focus on reality. What does that mean? It means your attention, your focus should not be on the physical happenings, but it should be on the power, the spiritual essence of the physical happening. What I'm trying to say is that see the unseen. If you are able to focus on reality, you will discover that the natural was designed to conform to reality. The natural has its roots in reality. The natural has its root in the invincible. The natural has its root in the unseen. So if you can pay attention to the unseen, you will change circumstances any day, anytime. God had told Abraham at the age of 75 to come out of his country. Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 3. Out of his kindred, out of his father's house, to the land that he will show him. And God went further to say, in blessings, I will bless you. And the point came, Abraham obeyed God and left. But after a while, Abraham began to lament that I do not have anyone to inherit my goods except this Eliezer of Damascus. And God had told him he would bless him in all things. So God told Abraham he would give him a child. And he said he would be a father of many nations. And Abraham could not believe. Abraham struggled with this for 25 years. And God called Abraham. In Genesis 15 from verse 5 to 6, he took Abraham out and he wanted to help Abraham to look away from the natural. And he said, look into the stars of heaven. He said, as numerous as these stars are, so shall thy seed be. Now, when Abraham looked at this myriad of stars, for the first time it dawned on Abraham that what God was talking about was bigger than everything around him. So Abraham had to shift his focus from the natural to the supernatural. And the Bible said in verse 6 that an Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. For the first time, shifted his gaze from the natural to the supernatural. Abraham shifted his focus from his circumstance to God. If our focus is in the circumstance, if our focus is in the natural, we can never generate the power to cause changes. So the first principle of faith is that you don't focus in the natural, you focus in the supernatural. So Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. In Joshua chapter 6 verse 2, God had told Joshua to conquer Jericho. Now the wall of Jericho is an impregnable fortress. You can't conquer that city. In fact, we were told by church history that 6 war horses could run comfortably on the wall of Jericho. How do you surmount such an impregnable fortress? Joshua was contemplating everything that was natural. Which strategy is going to work? How do I do this? How do I do this? And suddenly he saw an angel of the Lord stood with his sword drawn up. And the angel of the Lord began to salute him. thou mighty man of valor. And for the first time, it dawned on Joshua, am I a mighty man? Am I a man of valor? By what means? It's obviously not based on my natural ability. Because this salutation, if it is based on my natural ability, I don't qualify. How can you look upon me and call me a mighty man of valor? It's not possible. By what means? And the angel began to draw him to himself. Now, if you stop looking at the circumstance and begin to look Godward, for the first time you are going to notice there is an ability that is in you that will begin to manifest. The power of God that is hid in the God on your inside. So, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. He said, the things which are seen, they are temporal. The things that are unseen, they are eternal. What is he trying to tell us? Every natural thing is a lie. It is built on the foundation of vanity. Everything that you see in the natural is built on the foundation of vanity. The only things that are eternal are the things built in the spirit. Now, if I talk about the spirit, somebody is now contemplating. Do I close my eyes and become quiet to see into the spirit? Or do I see an angel? That's not what I'm talking about. If I say, look at the spirit, there is one spirit substance that is available to everybody. It's called the Word of God. Why is that so? The Bible said, all things were created by the Word. All things, both invisible and visible. In Colossians chapter 1, from verse 16 to 22, it said both visible and invisible things have one raw material. It's called the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 1 to 3, it said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, sustaining all things by the word of his power. He said, who by himself. Give me a second. I want to quote every word of that scripture because I want to make a definite reference. A definite reference to help someone. Because most times when we say look into the spirit, people are closing their eyes trying to see some things in the spirit. He said, who by himself have preserved, have kept, have strengthened, have sustained all things by the word of his power. So, every word at the word of his power. Stand that the words were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen were not made from the things which are, or the things which do appear. So when we are talking about the invincible, we are talking primarily about the word that created the invincible realm. So if you can look at the word, you're already looking at the invincible realm. And if you look at the word long enough, invincible realm will begin to crystallize in your spirit man. So the first principle of faith is for you to refuse to look at the circumstance. For example, a growth may be coming out of your body. You can choose to look at that growth, and you can choose not to look at that growth and find out what the invincible is saying. And what the invincible will be saying is that by his stripes you were healed. What the invisible will be saying is that if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. Now, what you are seeing there is the Logos, right? So, why I say focus now is because I'm not saying take the Logos and just quote it. You may not get the results. But when you focus on it over time, something happens. The Holy Ghost begins to animate the focus. So, it will know what you are reading. It will now become the lively oracles of God coming out from within your spirit. If you don't focus on the premise, when you begin the word of God, you are beginning to make your way prosperous. In Joshua chapter 1 from verse 8, it said, this book of the law should not depart from thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. Thou shalt see that you do that which is written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. So the foundation in the principle of faith is that you focus on the invincible. And when I say focus on the invincible, I say focus on what God says. And when I say focus on what God said, I mean look upon the Logos, eat the Logos, meditate the Logos until the Rhema begins to come out of your spirit. The moment the Rhema begins to come out of your spirit, you are about to begin to create. You have just entered the class of creators. You have just entered the God class. Because anything uttered by the Rhema must come to pass. Whether the hordes of Hades gather against it, it can't stop it. The first principle of faith is that you must master how to focus on the invincible. If you can focus on the invincible, your result will be your portion. This is what the Bible said concerning Abraham. In Romans chapter 1, Abraham found was the principles of faith. And the first principle of faith is to focus on the invincible. So in Romans chapter 4 verse 17, the Bible began to tell us how Abraham walked. In Romans 4:17, he said, concerning Abraham, he said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, that quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. He said, therefore, against lived in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So his faith was not according to anything else, but according to what was spoken. That was Abraham focusing on the invincible realm. He was focusing on what God said. What God said was not feasible. What God said was not feasible. What God said was seemingly impossible, but he focused on it because he knew that was where his strength came from. We are not earthly beings. We are heavenly beings. This is why we must focus on heavenly things. This is why we must focus on the invincible dimension. That's where our victory is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 45, the Bible began to teach us something. Because this thing is possible for every man. It said concerning Adam, the first Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 45. The Bible said, Adam was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a spirit. You see what happened? When you focus on the spirit, when you focus on the invincible, there is a quickening dimension that realm brings your way. If you focus on the earthly, you will only have the spiritual results around you because it's a living soul. But the second man, the realm of the second man, is the realm that. And it didn't stop there. It said, How be it? That was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. He said, the first man is earth, is of the earth, earthy. So everything of the earth is earthy. He said, but the last man is the Lord from heaven. He said, as is the earthy, such are they also which are earthy. But as is the heavenly, such are they which are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, so we should also bear the image of the heavenly. So what is he telling us? We must come to a point where we realize that we are spiritual beings. We must come to a point where we realize that we are heavenly beings. Our source is not earthly. So we are not bound by the powers of the natural. There is another dimension to us that is heavenly. So every time we want to deal with a circumstance, we focus on that superior and superlative dimension of our being, which is of the spirit. So we focus there. Every faith man and every man who walks by the principles of faith focuses on the heavenly. I travel a lot. I go to different territories every day. I meet different people with different background, different orientation, but my results are constant. Because I don't look at the people. You go to certain places, you are preaching, and then the people are sleeping on you. You go to certain places, you are preaching, and they act as if, who is this? What is he talking about? Some of them are repelling you on the altar. While you are talking, their thoughts are attacking you. They are doing all kinds of things. Sometimes when you are even preaching, they are standing up and walking out as though you are making noise. But we are not moved. We know what we came with is heavenly. So the people in Niger cannot undermine it. The people in Enugu cannot undermine it. The people in Ghana cannot undermine it. It doesn't matter the territory. I came with something that is heavenly. And if I focus there, I can change things anywhere. You know, if you are a pastor or you have a work, your people can be used to you. So it's easy. You can come and you share things. You move in the power of God with ease. Why? You have already taught them the word of God. Their spirit is open. But not for a traveling minister. You must carry something that is heavenly. If I were pastoring the people, I can teach them about the power of God. I can teach them about the move of God. And they can become receptive to the move of God. So I can just take my handkerchief, wave it. They are under the power. I've already taught them. They know how to receive. But if you go to a hinterland when they don't know you, you must focus the heavenly. You must carry something that is superior to any realm in the natural. And the way you operate like that is when you focus on the unseen. I learned it from Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. He said, carry the divine presence to the nations of the world, demonstrating the character of the Spirit. You are not moved by the people. You carry the divine presence. Take it to the nations of the world. When you get there, you will demonstrate the character of the Spirit. Why is it possible? Because we focus on the unseen. That's the first principle in the operation of faith. The second principle in the operation of faith is to refuse doubt. Doubt will always attack you. Your first attack is not from the environment. Your first attack is from within you. Doubt is your first enemy if you want to walk in faith. The first enemy of the man of faith is not the devil. The first enemy of the man of faith is not the environment. The first enemy of the man of faith is the doubt within his spirit. If he doesn't conquer that doubt, he can never conquer anything else. But if he's able to defeat his first enemy, which is the doubt in his spirit or in his soul, even if the devil rose against him, he can neutralize the devil any day, any time. So we must refuse to doubt. The Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, it said, as the rain cometh down and watereth the earth and returneth not, but giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It says, so shall my word be, which is gone forth out of my lips. It shall not return to me void, but it shall perform that for which it is said. What is God telling us here? God is telling us we don't have any reason to doubt. Why? Because he has... God is telling you, my integrity is on the matter. I decided to put my integrity on the line. I am the Lord. I fail not. I faint not. My integrity is on this matter. So if you have any reason to doubt, don't look at yourself. Look at me. I said it. Imagine if the president of your country sent you on an errand and the president of your country said, if you go there, just speak. Just speak. I am with you. My integrity is on the matter. Even if the governor of a state stamps up, you will refuse to doubt. Why is that so? Because you know the one that sent you. The cure to doubt is to realize that every step of faith taken, the integrity of God is the bedrock. The bedrock for faith operation is the integrity of God. It's not how loud we say what we say. It's not how excellent we say what we say. It's not how persuasive we say what we say. It is the fact that what we say anchors on the integrity of God. I may not believe in myself. I may not trust myself, but I believe in God. And if I do that, I will always not doubt. The cure to doubt is what I'm sharing with you now. If you don't doubt, then you can bet what you want. Salvation comes when we deal with doubt. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means what catapults you into the experience for which you that aligns with the conviction. If that proclamation aligns with your conviction and it is verbalized, it catapults you into the experience that is desired. This is the principle of faith. And the reason it works is because the integrity of God is on the matter. Now, in dealing with the subject of doubt, there are two kinds of doubt that will attack you. There is a doubt in your mind. The reason is because you are a reasonable being. You are a rational being. You are an objective being. So even when you take a step of faith, your mind will want to argue the matter. Because your mind is programmed to deal with facts, not spiritual realities. So your mind may want to reason with it. Now, the principle of faith negates that what you do should be repeated. The reason you want to repeat it is because your mind is fighting you. And I will show you, there are many times in scriptures where prayers are repeated. The prayers that are repeated, the steps that are repeated, are prayers of petitions or prayers of intercession. And they have different principles that govern it. I taught that in my mentoring class, and my mentees too are online, they know what I'm saying. For example, Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 and 42. He repeated the prayer. Why? Because that's the prayer of petition. That's not the prayer of faith, right? So we can repeat prayers of petition. We can receive prayers of intercession. But when you are dealing with the prayer of faith, it is such that when you declare, you are persuaded that it's already done. When God said, let there be light, he didn't say it twice. When God said, let the dry ground appear, he didn't say it twice. When God said, let us make man in our image, he didn't say it twice. He was operating purely by faith in that realm. But when God said, if it were thy will, let this cup pass me, he was not dealing with faith. He was dealing by principle of intercession. And the reason you know it's not faith is because in the principle of faith, you don't talk to God, you talk to the mountain. So Jesus was talking to the Father. He wasn't talking to the mountain. So that was intercession. That was petition. And if you are dealing with intercession and petition, you can repeat it. But when it comes to faith, the reason you want to repeat it is because doubt is beginning to arise in your mind. That's called the doubt of the mind. The way to deal with the doubt of the mind is not to pray the prayer again. It's not to talk to the mountain again. It's to talk to the doubt. You don't talk to the mountain again. You talk to the doubt. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, the Bible says something. It said, let me read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. It said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It said, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, he began to teach us how to deal with doubt. He said, casting down imaginations. The word imagination is logismos. And what does it mean? It means reckoning. It means reasoning. It means computation. So when you deal with the mountain, naturally your mind will want to logismos. Your mind will want to contemplate. Your mind will want to reason it out. He said, cast it down. He said, cast it down, imaginations. Don't cast the mountain again. Cast the imagination. Cast the doubt. I dealt with the cancer. I rebuked the cancer. And my mind is telling me, pray again. Oh, that one you did. You have to pray again. You have to decree again. I command my doubt. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. I deal with the doubt. I don't deal with the mountain. It's a casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you deal with the doubt of the mind? He said to address the doubt. Cast it down. So when I begin to feel like, this thing will kill me, I say, I will not die. Get behind me, Satan. I will not die. I will live to proclaim the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm addressing the doubt. I won't go back and say, No. I won't go back and say, I command this cancer. Go. I command this lung disease. Go. No. I've commanded it and I'm thanking God. What do you do between the time of your manifestation and the time of your prayer? Oh, thank you, Father. Because that which you have said, you are able to perform. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because you are already working on this thing to bring it to pass. Oh, thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Because the cancer is dissolving. Because the high blood pressure is going. Because the migraine is going. That's what you do. You don't keep repeating yourself. If you do it over time, you will tell yourself it's not working. Because it's a game of the mind. So when those doubts begin to arise, deal with the doubt. And the way to deal with the doubt of the mind is to cast it down. Cast it down. Cast it down. Cast it down. That's one. The second way to deal with doubt of the mind is to pray through. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but by all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses knowledge will garrison your heart. It will garrison your heart. It will garrison your heart. It will garrison your heart. The peace of God that surpasses knowledge. It will garrison your heart. Do you see that? So, two ways to deal with doubts of the mind is what? Rebuke the doubt or cast it down. And then secondly, pray through. When you ascend so high, the doubt will not get there. you would have dealt with the doubt. So the second law, or the second principle rather, of faith is what? Refuse doubt. There is another level of doubt that is worse than the doubt of the mind. It's called the doubt of the spirit. And the doubt of the spirit is to stagger at the word of God. When you doubt in the spirit, what you do is that you immobilize God. You weaken God. You make it impossible for God to bring his word to pass. In James chapter 1 from verse 5, the Bible said, whoever lacks wisdom should ask of God, that giveth liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. He said, for let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. Let not that man think. So the reason the man cannot receive is because he wavered, he staggered. It's the doubt of the spirit. When you have asked for something, or you have made a demand, you have made a decree, and then you realize that you are beginning to shake, you know that your spirit is beginning to stagger. You are doubting in your spirit, man. You are wavering. You are wavering. And he said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. So how do you deal with the doubt of the spirit? How do you deal with stagger? Two ways. By giving glory to God, or by exercising your faith. When I started praying for the sick, I prayed for some, they died. I prayed for some, it grew worse. There were times when I left, I didn't come back. And I told myself, oh boy, this thing, I won't do it again. But I began to study, and I began to learn from men that know truth. See, every dimension of my life, I have a mentor. When it has to do with manifesting the supernatural, I follow Pastor Chris closely, because he has results. I listen to Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn said, Pastor Benny said, he was praying for somebody, he was ministering to the person every day, and then Pastor Chris came to visit him in California, and then they were going to visit Billy Graham of blessed memory. And then he said, come, let's pass through this place where I've been ministering to this person, this dear sister, trusting God for her healing. And he said, suddenly Pastor Chris came and looked at her. I said, leave her now. And the demon left her, and the sister got up. And Pastor Benny said, how in heaven's name did you do it? This is how. I learned it from him. And I am practicing it, and I'm growing by it every day. I'm growing by it, and I'm putting it to work every day. This is what you should learn. This is what we call the way of the spirit. You learn these things. You grow in it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, it says, whoever uses milk is a babe, and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He said, but strong meat belongs to them who are of age, who by reason of use have their senses to discern between good and evil. The way to become strong and to stop staggering is by putting your faith to work. When you pray for the cripple in the public, they are not healed, don't be ashamed. When you see another cripple, pray again. When you see another cripple, pray again. Thomas Edison was the one that said, every time he designed the bulb and it didn't work, he learned another way by which the bulb doesn't work. So he learned something else. You never lose by putting your faith to work. Every time you put your faith to work, you refuse to stagger. There are many people, because they are afraid of what people will say, they never graduate from staggering. And the reason is because they never exercise their faith. Exercise your faith and fail publicly, because the shame is not on you. The same way, if it works, the glory is not yours. The glory is God's. If the glory is not yours, why do you claim the shame? This is the cure to staggering. The cure to staggering is faith to work every morning. If you want to trust God for growing in the healing anointing or the gift of faith, you don't do it by only meditating on scripture. You have to pray for the sick every day of your life. Todd White said he prayed for many people. Nothing happened until one day he broke open. Today, Todd White goes to a basketball match. They stop the match. He prays for the sick. They are healed. It's not a big deal. He throws away. Terrible things in righteousness happening. Why? Because he no longer staggers. So, refuse to doubt. When doubt of the mind comes, cast it down. Or pray through. when doubt of the spirit comes and you find yourself staggering, give glory to God or put your faith to work. Pray for another person, pray for another person, pray for another person. Over time, you will discover, you will see it waking up from sleep and you will have an answer. Over time, you'll be going to your bathroom and they will call you, somebody is dying, you take your phone, leave and don't die. And you will go and something will happen. This is how we grow. It is the principle of faith that the man must refuse to doubt, because reasonings will come, traditions of men will come, thoughts will come, imaginations will come. Refuse, cast them down. Tell your fear in the name of Jesus, go. Tell that thought, it will not work. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke you. The Bible said something in Mark chapter 11 verse 22, that Jesus on their way to Jerusalem, he saw a fig tree and he went to get some figs, and there was no fig on the fig tree. And Jesus said, and the Bible said, and Jesus answered, no man will eat of thee. What was Jesus answering to? The fig tree was dumb. Who was Jesus talking to? Jesus was dealing with doubt within. And when Jesus said, no man will eat of thee, the fig tree was still green. The next day when they were coming, I knew the apostles would say, so even Jesus says, but Jesus was not moved. When they were coming the next day, the Bible said the tree dried up from its root, because Jesus disconnected the source of the tree. And they said, Master, the tree you cursed yesterday, behold, it has dried up from its root. And Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. And in verse 24 of that scripture, Jesus said something. He said, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast hence, and do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. You see that? It's a principle. We grow by this principle. We learn it. We grow by it. We practice it and we become strong. The second principle of faith is to refuse doubt. The third principle of faith is to always present your strong reasons. Present your strong reasons. The circumstance will want to confront you most of the time. If you to present your strong reasons, you will never win in the battle of faith. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 21, the Bible said, produce your cause. It said, bring forth your strong reasons. Produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reasons. The Bible said, in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It said, by it the elders obtained a good report. They were always presenting something. In Hosea chapter 14 verse 2, it said, carry with you words and turn to the Lord. Carry with you words. If you don't know how to produce your evidence, if you don't know how to produce your strong reason, Your opponent will paralyze you. Most times the reason people drift into doubt is because you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. It said with the heart you believe unto righteousness. But it didn't say stop at believing. It said to get salvation, you must produce your strong reason. It said with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Your heart makes you right with God. Your evidence makes you get your result. Many people don't know how to produce their strong reason. This is why we talk. And when I teach the laws of faith, I will show you the four laws of faith. We produce our evidence. We produce our strong reason. If I ask you today, are you a graduate? What will you produce? You will not go and start telling me the story of how you went to the university. You will present your certificate. If you have a land that they are arguing, who owns this land? You won't carry the land and take it to court. You will produce your land document. The CFO, that's your land. You have a strong reason. Every time you want to work out your result, you must master the art of producing your strong reason. Are we together? I'm sure you are learning something. And if you will take this to heart, you will change your story forever. The fourth principle of faith is only say what God says. Don't be too vast when you are dealing with faith. Reverend Chris Yakilome said something. He said, I don't know too much to be afraid. Only say what God says. Remember, I just quoted for you from Romans 10:10, that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It is what you say you will have. The Bible says that God speaking now, he said, I am the Lord that confirmed the words of my servants and performed the counsel of my messengers. God is not committed to what you know. God is committed to what you say. That was Bishop Oedeko speaking. If you don't say the right thing, you will get the wrong thing. Only faith. The Bible said, let no one in Zion say, I am sick. Why is that so? Is it denying the existence of sickness? No. But if you say it, it will manifest. Because you are of the God class. And God walk by talking. God walk by talking. God don't walk by carrying blocks on their shoulder. When a God wants to walk, he begins to talk. Jesus said, the words that I speak, it is my Father that is in me that doeth the work. God said, let there be light, and there was light. If you say the wrong things, you will have the wrong things. Be disciplined to only say what God says about you. I know this might look like psyching, but remember, this is built on three other foundations already. See the unseen. Refuse to doubt. Present your strong reason. Then, only say what God says. There are lots of people that have said 1,000,001 things about themselves that God did not say. This is why their life is not consistent to the blueprint of their destiny. You have told yourself 1,001 times, it's not working. How do you expect it to work? It will never work. Because your statement will be brought in the court of heaven that yourself says it's not working. So by what means will it work? When you have declared that it will not work. Because what you don't know is that what you say in the realm of the spirit is a declaration. You are declaring that it's not working. That's what you are doing. So only say what God says concerning you. Don't say what you feel. Don't say what you think. Say what God says. It may not be your experience now, but keep saying it. Over time, your experiences will conform to it. When God says, let there be light. Don't assume light appeared immediately. It was in Genesis 16 that he made the sun and the moon. When God said, let the green plant appear in Genesis chapter 1, don't expect that it appeared. It didn't appear. In Genesis chapter 2 from verse 3 to 5, the Bible said, no green plant was on the face of the earth because God has not caused the man to till the land. And so there was no mist going to heaven to water the earth to bring the green plant. But the Bible said, God saw it and it was good. So God said, let the green plant appear. There was no green plant nowhere because man had not been created. Yet, God saw it and it was good. This is how God operates. Only say what God says concerning you. If you say what God is not saying, you will have what God is not giving. If you say what God is not saying, you will have what God is not giving. Only say what God says. You must discipline your mouth. Faith men are disciplined. That's why one of the hallmarks of maturity is the ability to tame your tongue. The Bible said, see one among you who is perfect. He said that man has law over his tongue. The guy only says what God says. And that's why his results are only consistent with God's result. You know, if not because Moses was the one that wrote Genesis chapter 1, if God was the one who wrote Genesis chapter 1, you would never have heard of darkness. It was Moses talking to us about darkness. When God showed up, God didn't go say, the darkness on the earth is so thick. How come there is so much darkness? Wow, this kind of darkness, can anything happen to it at all? That's not God's business. God came, he said, let there be light. God says what he wants to see. And you say what God says. That's the way of victory. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God didn't see light. He wanted light. He said, let there be light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, the heavens and the earth was mingled together. And God said, let the waters be separated. And it was separated. And the firmaments appeared. In Genesis chapter 9, God didn't see the earth. There was no dry ground. And God said, let the dry ground appear. He didn't say, see, why have you swallowed the dry ground? How do we get the dry ground? Dry ground appear. And the dry ground appeared. In Genesis chapter 16, there was no light upon the face of the earth to determine seasons. God said, let the sun and the moon appear, and let there be for season. He didn't say, how are we going to have season? Can it be possible for us to have season? It's babes that talk like that. God don't talk like that. In Genesis chapter 26, there was no man on the face of the earth to till the earth. God said, let us make man in our own image. God says what he wants to see, not what he's thinking, not what he's hoping for, not what he feels will not happen. He says what he wants to happen. If you want to live the victorious life, you must be disciplined to only say what God says about your circumstance. Instead of continually, and I'm not saying deny the facts. That's not my point. Faith is not the denial of fact. It is the refusal of fact to have dominion over you. And the way to refuse fact from having dominion is by saying what God says. That's how you refuse fact from having dominion. So these are four principles of faith. Now, these four principles of faith, they are designed to make the fifth principle happen. Because the fifth principle is actually the major principle of faith. But this fifth principle will never work until the first four principles are already in motion. What is the fifth principle of faith? Be specific always. Faith does not function in oblivion. Faith is not vague. Faith is definite. Faith is specific so that the power can be channeled correctly. You don't box the wind when you are doing business of faith. You are specific about what you are addressing. Many people want to work out the protocol of faith, but they are vague. They are not deliberate. They are not specific. They are not definite. That's why they never have results. If you are not specific, you will never have results. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, which is the scripture popularly known as Kenan Hagin's scripture, the Bible said, if you will say to this mountain, he didn't say if you will say to a mountain, he didn't say if you will say to mountains, if you will say to this mountain, what does that tell you? It tells you that faith does not deny the fact. Faith knows that the mountain is there. Faith acknowledges the mountain. That's why you exercise your faith in the first place. If you don't acknowledge the mountain, you are a liar. You are not a man of faith. But you acknowledge the mountain. Notwithstanding, you don't allow the mountain to have dominion. So he said, specifically address the mountain. Say to this mountain, be thou removed. That's another specificity. Tell the mountain what you want. Be thou removed and be thou cast hence. So you see the level of specificity. You address this mountain, and then in addressing the mountain, you tell the mountain what you want. You can't just come, you are not yet married, and then you want to get married, and you say, Lord, look at my circumstance. Oh, Lord, change my circumstance. What circumstance? Lord, I am not married. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I step into my husband's home. You are not just going to say, Lord, help me. Lord, please deal with this matter. Lord, am I not serving you faithful enough? Lord, what have I done? You are wasting your time. This year, I am getting married. This year, I am getting into my husband's house. And there's nothing any devil can do about it. What have you done? You have timed when you want your result. You have specified what you want to get married. And you have told yourself you are going into your husband's house. Specificity. The contract is mine because I... have dominion. I take the contract for the land. We are specific. We don't speak into thing here. We don't box the wind. So the first thing about the principle of specificity is that don't deny the mountain, but address it. Number two, in addressing the mountain, tell the mountain what you want. If you want the mountain to dematerialize, tell the mountain, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to dematerialize. If you want the mountain to be removed, tell the mountain, in the name of the Lord Jesus, be removed from here. If you want the mountain to vanish, say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to vanish. Oh, mountain. Backwardness. Oh, mountain. Principle for our victory has been outlined. He said, pray in my name. In John 16:24, the Bible said, until now you have asked for nothing. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be complete. So God wants you to have joy. God wants you to live a victorious life. But he has shown you how. He said, ask before you receive. So don't assume I know what you want and say, if it is the will of God, it will happen. If it will happen, it will happen. You are joking. God himself is telling you, if you want it to happen, ask. And then asking, in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 14, he said, if we ask according to your will, if we ask according to your will, you are able, faithful and just to provide for us all that we have asked. So, first, you ask. Second, you ask according to his will. Now, what is his will in asking? His will in asking is not going to find the mystery behind the principle that has been narrated to the Holy of Holies. The Bible said the blood of the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. So the testimony of the blood predates the covenant of your ancestors. The blood is a reality that holds sway from before the foundation of the world. So the high priest steps into before the foundation of the world. When Jesus took the blood to heaven, he was entering into a dimension called before the foundation of the world. So I don't care if that generational covenant have existed for 50 years. It doesn't matter. The blood is before the foundation of the world. So when we are talking about the will of God, we are not talking about the mysteries of transferring causes and all of that. I will deal with it over time. I will deal with it. I will teach you all of this so that I do a thorough job and it doesn't look as if I'm heretic or I'm trying to play down on something. But I will show you. If you know the mystery that powers, that backs your authority in Jesus, you will be bold any day, any time. But coming back to what we are saying, is that if we ask according to his will, 1 John 5:14. Now, what is his will? This is his will. In John 16:13, he said, if you ask whatever you ask in my name. So the will of God is for you to ask in his name. This is also the law of specificity. Don't ask in vain. Ask in the name of Jesus. John 16 verse 13 to 14. And in John 16, 23 to 24. He said, I didn't tell you I will pray to the Father on your behalf. So many people who come to ask through Jesus, who come to ask through Mary, who come to ask through an angel, who come to ask through a saint. Go and read John 16, 26. Even Jesus himself is saying, I'm not saying I will pray to the Father for you. He said, for the Father himself have loved you. He said, ask in my name. What it means to ask in his name is that you are asking in his stead. That means you are standing in his stead. So you are not going through. You are standing as him. That's what it means to ask in his name. So in the principle of faith, under the law of specificity, we must ask in the name of Jesus. And when we do that, we are ready for victory. So the principle of faith is the victory that a man has as he walks through life. And it's simple. First, focus on reality. Secondly, refuse to doubt. Thirdly, present your strong reasons. Fourthly, only say what God says. And finally, be specific. If you apply this principle to any situation in your life, trust me, it will change. In the New Testament dispensation, we are the first prophets over our lives. The reason why we are running helter-skelter, looking for somebody to change our circumstance, is because we don't know the principles that govern this. If you know this, you'll be victorious. I was in the RCN tent 2 days ago and even yesterday, when my father and the Lord was doing sanitization and dealing with deliverance cases. There were over 1,000 people online, and out of these over 1,000 people, 1,000 people were going through crisis. Now, we give God thanks for delivering them, for the sanitization that happened, but it grieves the heart. It shows us how many babes they are in Christ. So many people are still babes. So when we conduct deliverance services, we thank God that we have exercised dominion over devils. But the will of God is not deliverance. the deliverance, like salvation, is necessary in bringing you to the will of God. The will of God is not deliverance. Jesus was casting out demons everywhere because the guys were not born again. They were babes in the things of the Spirit. How many times did Jesus cast out demons from his disciples? They didn't need it. So there is a realm you get to where you don't need deliverance. There's a realm you get to where you don't need to talk about deliverance. You don't need to talk about devils. Where is that realm? It's when you walk in light. When Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, they were mature. Paul was not dealing with issues of deliverance. He was teaching them rather how to hold the devil at bay, how to stop the devil. That's what he taught them, spiritual warfare. To keep the devil where he belongs. Because he had told them, giving no place to the devil. So these ones are not trusting God to deliver them over. These ones can stand and match shoulder to shoulder with the devil and say, you devil, stop there. That's where God wants every one of us to get to. Not coming to God, seeking breakthrough, or seeking deliverance, or seeking healing. No, if you are there, it's fine. There is a fight of faith. Once in a while, I'm still growing. I have my own fight of faith that I'm dealing with, but I know the standard of God. So if peradventure I fall sick today, now there are those who don't fall sick. I can't remember when I fell sick, so don't get me wrong now. But if peradventure I fall sick, maybe malaria or typhoid today, I'm going to exercise my faith, right? But I also know there is a realm called divine help where people don't fall sick. That's where I'm going to. That I fall sick, I'm not going to come and start teaching people and say, we all fall sick. That's a lie. We all don't fall sick. The Bible says if you are sick, go to the elder. The elders don't fall sick. Because if the elders fall sick, who should they go to? You can't come and say, well, all of us fail once in a while. No. Instead, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So it's from glory to glory. It's from brightness to brightness. The problem with us most of the time is we preach our experience as God's standard. And that's wrong. There is a place, there's a realm in God where we don't fluctuate. We only go upward and forward because it's brighter and brighter. That's the realm of faith. And every one of us is practicing. Every one of us is building our faith. Every one of us is developing our faith. And this is the cure. Myself teaching you this thing today, if you practice this thing better than me, in few months you'll be ahead of me. Because it's not who taught it that makes the difference. It's who practices it that has the victory. It says strong meat belongs to them. Hebrews 5:14. Who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. So tonight you have a challenge around your finances, around your health, around your family. The first thing to do is, what has God said about this? What are you trying to do? You are trying to see the unseen. When you see what God says, refuse to doubt. The Bible said concerning Abraham that according as he has spoken, that was where Abraham stood. Abraham stood where the voice of God stood. And then you refuse to doubt. And then when you refuse to doubt, that thing that God has said, begin to present it as your strong reason. And as you present it as your strong reason, begin to say only that thing. Even if your circumstance begin to rage, it's a lie. Refuse to consider. The devil will rage to distract you. Keep saying what you are saying and be specific. And in your specificity, begin to command that thing to get out. In the name of Jesus, you will be amazed. Tonight, I want us to apply this very briefly. I'm not feeling an anointing. And I'm not going to operate by word of knowledge. So you say, okay, word of knowledge, there's a gift of the Spirit at work, or there's an anointing. No, we are going to put this to work now. How many persons are online now? We have 1,222 people on Facebook. We have people on YouTube as well. Online, right? Now, I'm going to exercise this now with 1,200 people minimum. Now, this is what you're going to do. There is a challenge you have been going through. Put that challenge before you now. Remember, I'm not feeling any anointing. I'm not using any gifts of the Spirit. I'm not picking anything in my spirit. I deliberately came like this today. If this is true, let it happen. The Bible said in Mark 15:20, and they went and spoke the word. And he said, the Lord confirming the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. Mark 16:20. And in Acts 14:3, it's a long time about this, speaking boldly in the Lord. the Lord confirming the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hand. The beauty of what we're about to do tonight is that you will not only get an instant result, but you will now know what to do. If I cast a demon out of you, I deal with the circumstance. I've not really helped you. Because in Matthew 12, 43, 44, the Bible said, when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he moves about in dry places, seeking where it will abide. It says, finding not, it returns to where it was cast from. If he finds it kept and garnished, but empty, he will not enter. He will go and get seven more wicked demons. He says, worse will be the state of that man than the beginning thereof. So if I do a deliverance, if I conduct a deliverance on you, and I didn't follow up with discipleship, I set you up, your situation will be worse. That's why 6 months later, you will discover you have not only gone back to that addiction, it is worse now. You have not only gone back to that sickness, it is worse now. The reason is because you were washed, kept, and garnished, but you were empty. If we teach you truth, you will discover you will reign in life. And it's simple. Let's put it to work in the next 5 minutes and take some testimonies. Can you bring me online? I want to see the testimonies. I'm so persuaded in my spirit God will do something. Maybe you are blind. Maybe you are deaf. Maybe there is pain somewhere in your body. Maybe you have an organ infection. Maybe there is a circumstance you are trusting God for a change. Just put it before you now. I'm teaching you how to put it before you. Just chant with me. Increase the keyboard. I want them to hear it where they are. Now, if your circumstance is a sickness, he said, by his stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, it says, by whom stripes you were healed. In Romans 8 11, it says, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. I'm giving you raw materials now. By his stripes you were healed. Now, just bring it to your visualization. When Jesus was being flogged, he did it for you. When he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that was your sickness he was dealing with. So if it were your sickness, now shift from your sickness. Look at what Jesus did. That the Son of Man was made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. That's what's happening in the spirit. The Son of Man, for this reason, was the Son of Man made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. It was Andrew Womack that said the power of God is mechanical because he can replicate it every day. He believes it. Yours may be a family crisis. Yours may be a job. Yours may be a contract you are bidding for. Yours may be a land. Your land is being taken away. They are trying to rob you of what's yours. That this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Do you believe? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Every area of darkness in your life, here in your spirit, is a light be and light appears. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Now you are about to say what God says. Are you blind? Are you deaf? Are you in the hospital listening to me? Is there a crisis? It's time to address it. Go ahead and command that thing to go now. Say, you growth in my body, you deafness, you blindness, in the name of Jesus, I command you, leave my body now. Leave now. Command that devil of confusion out of my family. that demon of backwardness out of my life in the name of Jesus. Command it to go now. Command it to go now. No anointing feeling, no word of knowledge, nothing. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. Don't bother about what you are talking to. You be in the spirit. Remember, your focus must be in reality. So don't focus on that thing. Focus in the spirit and just be addressing that thing from heaven. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Blindness, go. I command devils of blindness. Upon your people now, move upon the waters, Holy Spirit, and quicken your word and bring it to pass. Let the testimony of your word be made sure tonight. Aya lavanda kazoa, elegedegea, barakila pande seleva, hela soba na teka sila bariana tai. Kalevane kazede, idedegapole baradaga vagia, ala branda sibata. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let the miracles begin to take place. In the name of Jesus, I command blinding spirits, go. Go from them in the name of Jesus. I break the chain of blindness. I command deafening spirits, go. I command all kind of infections right now. Kidneys, livers, be healed in the name of Jesus. I command the chains to break in the name of Jesus. I command healing in your finances. Every dry hand restriction of standing before you down. Command arthritis pains, go. I command bones be healed. I command organs be healed. You couldn't walk before, rise up and walk. I command growths to vanish from your bodies. I command cancerous growths, go. Every form of growth, growths in the breast, go, pine, go. In the name of Jesus, I command minds to be restored. I command healings to take place. I command circumstances to turn around. I command speed on your life. Oh, every pain in the leg, every pain in the ankle, every pain in the joint, I cannot but see. And since somebody, you have pain under your foot, it's like you step on something very hard and the pain has been there. The pain is going in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing injuries that have refused to heal. One on somebody's lips, another on his ankle. Is drying in the name of Jesus. Is drying. I'm seeing a man, you have issues with diabetes. It's a sugar infection. It's been there for close to 8 years. You are slim, tall, dark. You are close to your 40s. That affliction breaks now in the name of Jesus. Somebody, you can't lift your hand. There is a growth in your armpit. The pain goes now. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing somebody with arthritis on both legs. Your legs are literally drying up now. You are a female. Stand up and begin to walk in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing somebody with pain in the tummy. For 3 days now, you've not even been able to walk. There's been excruciating pain that have defied pain relievers. The pain is leaving now. You are free in the name of Jesus. I don't want to operate in the spirit like this. But God is healing people. Circumstances are turning around. They are turning around. You are receiving your healing already. Please begin to write in your testimonies. Some of you prayed, you have not seen any results. Don't worry. Don't worry. You are growing. You are growing. And for everybody trusting God for an intervention now, take it in the name of Jesus. Rabakata Fodadaha. Zelia Banakila Barakade. Vadia Fatebreka. Zelia Panakila. I release the power of God now. I release that intervention. Take it in the name of Jesus. Ah, women are receiving grace to take it. You are receiving strength to be with child. You have been married. This is close to, it's more than 5 years now. You have not been able to bring forth a child. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon her, and the power of the highest overshadowed her, and something was formed on her inside. He said, Sarah, receive strength to be a child. Receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. I have seen a woman with a young boy. The eyes are bulging out. You are afraid it's cancer. That devil goes now. That devil goes now. In the name of Jesus, that child is free. Aya. And see somebody, one of your breasts is bigger than the other. It's an affliction of the devil. There's an implantation on it. It's a terrible situation. That breast is being healed right now. That breast have just reduced in size. You have been healed. In the name of Jesus. Aradavakidaba. I'm seeing somebody, your dad could not walk. You are bringing your dad now to hear that the man of God is praying. I release strength upon him. He's wearing a short knicker like ash color. Yes, receive strength. Take that staff away from him. Stay. Somebody has, you have this, there's a fracture around your waist at the back. It's on your spine actually. Now you are using a belt to tie yourself to be able to walk. Remove it, you are free. Somebody else has a fracture on the neck, lumbar spondylosis. Remove that thing now, you are free. In the name of Jesus. Oh Jesus. Somebody's left ear just open now. Now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hey! Hey! The anointing is resting now. Receive your healings. Everybody connected to this platform right now, I release power for healing. I command devils of infirmity, go from them. I release the life of God right now. I command impossible situation, turn around in the name of Jesus. Hey, somebody has a skin infection. Your knees like the knee of a goat right now. You don't even know what's happening to you. And these dark spots are appearing everywhere, itching you, so embarrassing. The Lord is cleansing you now. You are being cleansed by the Spirit. I'm stepping into families now. There are crises in your families. I'm seeing a young lady watching me right now. You are about 23 years old. In the last 4 years, 5 years, four persons have died in your family. Two of them are from your immediate family. One is an uncle. Another is a cousin. A cousin. Four persons have died in the last 5 years. Now, the plague and darkness over families, I command it to be rolled off. Everybody connected now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I step into your family by the Spirit. And I command that wickedness of the devil, roll off in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of death. I say, begin to flourish. Begin to flourish. I'm even seeing a young man now. There have been three deaths in your home. You are a pastor. You are a pastor. You pastor a church. Now, there's something about it like light. You are pastoring a church and three deaths in your home in the last 5 years. And there have been confusion. It looks as if nothing is working. It looks as if you are at one spot. It's that wickedness from your ancestry that is finding a place in what you are doing. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I join faith with you. I command that siege to break off your life and your ministry. Everything you do, you are doing. The affliction comes from you. I'm seeing somebody from town. So a gross affliction of poverty and rejection. It's so strong in your life that it looks as if everybody rejects you. Meanwhile, it's fighting your life and ministry. I bring you the witness of favor. In the name of the Lord Jesus, step into a higher realm of favor. Step into a higher dimension of favor. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing a young man. You are about to start a ministry. You are about to start a ministry, but you are contemplating going into diabolic means because you are afraid it won't work. The reason is because your father was into ministry, your grandfather was into ministry, but they were poor. And you say you will not do ministry with poverty. I have good news for you. There is a seed of greatness upon your life. And tonight I activate it by the Spirit. You are in the western part of Nigeria. Somewhere around Oshun State, Badon Axis. I release grace upon you. I break that seed. And oh my God. I'm seeing somebody with the same case somewhere around Enugu State of Nigeria. It just dropped in my spirit now. You will not go into diabolism, but you will do ministry and flourish like the cedars in the name of Jesus. Can we take some testimonies? Others are still exercising their faith. Do we have testimonies already? Bring testimonies. Others are still exercising their faith. The Bible said the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You may not have received yours now. Come on, don't doubt. Keep exercising your faith. As you hear the testimony of one, faith will be built on your inside. Meanwhile, for those of you that have testimonies, we have lots of testimonies from last week. For those of you that have testimonies, send it to this number on WhatsApp. +234 80 3220 1096. We want to reach out to you. We want to pray with you to consolidate on your on what you have received. +234 80 3220 1096. Forward your testimony there. Can we have anybody on the technical unit? Let me get testimonies quickly. Just 2-3 testimonies and then we are out of here because time is fast spent. Can I have testimonies? Ha ha ha. Yes, let me hear that. Yeah, with pain has come from your back already. Ruth, I've just been healed of eye pain and headache. Testimonies are already streaming in. Mike, I've been seeing black spots in his eyes with excruciating pain. He's been healed. Testimonies are already coming in and they will keep flowing like that. Yes, I gave a word of knowledge. Somebody had pain at the back of the waist. Kojo is testifying, said the pain is gone completely. The bones. Okay, he had issues with his bones. And he couldn't, there was no mobility or something. He can exercise it right now. That bone receives strength in the name of Jesus. That bone receives strength in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody else with pains in the bone condition, being healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there are lots of testimonies coming in already. Keep streaming them in. Remember, the testimony line is +234 80 3220 1096. When I'm led, I'll begin to release them. But send in your testimonies. Let's give glory to God. Let's give glory to God. Thank you, Father, for tonight. We are persuaded that much more are happening and they will yet happen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Even the people that will be following this live stream, listening to it later, this dimension will come upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your time. I'm so excited to have you here. Okay, Kolola, I gave a word of knowledge of a lady that is about 23 years old, 4 deaths in the last 5 years. Kolola, so Kolola who? Kolula Benjamin, victorious, is affirming to that word of knowledge. That plague of death ceases over your family. The fear of death is rebuked from you. You will not die. You will proclaim the glory of the, you will proclaim the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, some of these words of knowledge are just to help the faith of people. These principles I've taught you, they are eternal. Take for example, when you come to a man of God to pray for you, is this same principle you refuse to practice that we apply? You may have an ancestral challenge. You may have a pattern in your bloodline. When you meet the man of God, he will invoke the blood of Jesus. He will use the name of Jesus. It's the same things you have refused to practice. That's what the man of God uses, because that's the only way out. Go and practice today and change your story forever. Testimonies keep streaming in, please. Let the testimonies keep streaming in. Let them keep streaming in. Send them to the numbers. And then we even forgot to take the testimonies from last week. The Lord bless you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance above you. The Lord give you peace. This week shall be the greatest week you have experienced in your lifetime. You will experience the glory of God. You will experience the favor of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are trusting God for a breakthrough. And it's an emergency. It has to do with a visa application. It has to do with a job. In the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, I release it unto you. In the name of Jesus, it will come to pass speedily. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much for making our time to be with me. By next week, Thursday, I will round up this series by teaching you the laws of faith. Please, put these things to work. The power is in the practice. If you don't practice, you will never gain mastery. You will always be a baby. Strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. When we started, I told you I wasn't feeling any anointing. There was no word of knowledge, but there was the word of faith. And if there's a word of faith, it's as potent, as powerful as an anointing, is as powerful as a gift of the Spirit. The word of faith which we preach. God bless you. I love you. See you same time next week, and it will be more glorious in Jesus' precious name.